Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. We give God praise. We give God all glory tonight. We thank God for his son, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're giving God praise for Word Wednesday. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his Word will remain forever. To God be the glory. In the book of John, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And that was referring to Jesus. So as we get opportunity to look at the Logos Word, that simply means the written Bible, and we begin to get revelation from the Word of God, that means understanding of what the text is saying to us. This is how we become better Christians. This is how we develop into greater disciples. This is how we begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, the unity of our faith, the unity of faith. And I love the way in the book of Ephesians, if you can just turn there before we pray, we'll start there tonight in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. This is one of the churches that the Apostle Paul founded, the church of Ephesus, a great church, awesome people of God. But in this particular epistle, he's teaching, he's admonishing them to understand their faith and how they can strengthen their faith, because so many things were going on at the church of Ephesus. But if you can get your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'm going to pray as we begin tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. We give your name praise, glory, and honor. There's none like you. Thank you for bringing us to this point of our day safely. We thank you, Lord, even as we open our ears and hearts to receive what you want to say to us and into us tonight, that it will produce 30, 60, 100 fold. We thank you for the seed of the word that will be deposited in our lives on tonight. And we give your name glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, we're going to see the phrase in this particular chapter. If you can, read the entire thing, which I will not do tonight. I just want to pick it up at verse number 11. I'm going to start at verse number 11. And then we're going to go to the latter part, because it's some wonderful Christian instruction. And sometimes as we have this time to slow it down, where we're not yelling, where we're not preaching, but we're teaching. I love the fact that we can slow it down and understand what God is saying through his word. There's so much instruction in the word of God. The Bible says the word is for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction, for edification, and for exhortation. The word has purpose, and the word has meaning as it come into our lives. That's why he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because as we take in more word, as we get in more word, as we come to church, as we pray, as we read God's word, we're becoming more spiritual agents. We're becoming more spiritual than natural, more spiritual than carnal, more spiritual than normal. And things begin to happen in the supernatural realm and the spiritual realm, because now we're entombed into that realm. It's not about our natural eyesight. It's not about our natural hearing at that point. It's not what we can taste, smell, or touch, the five senses. But we now step into the supernatural realm, and we begin to experience the supernatural power of God. Because the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's the phrase that I'm speaking from tonight. Till we all come into the unity of faith. And that's where I'm going to go tonight, the unity of faith, where we're going to go throughout the night and we're going to see where people collectively put their faith together. And collectively, their faith got stirred. Their faith grew. Their faith got re-infused because collectively they saw God honoring their faith, and thereby, amen, their faith was encouraged. Because sometimes we go through life and seasons where we're discouraged. We go through trials and tests and tribulation, and all that comes into our lives to diminish or to decrease our faith. But as we see other believers going through, as we get with people that understand the pressures and what we're going through in some way or another, now our faith is encouraged because we realize we're not by ourselves, whatever it is we're walking through. And verse 13 goes on to say, and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ. Here's verse 14, and this is part of our mission statement, part of our vision statement, which we probably need to revisit, especially as we get new people coming into the church. This is what our ministry is all about. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The Bible is saying here, there are people that's going to be slick. They're going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to trick you. Paul writes to the church of Galatia, and he says to them in chapter 3, he says, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? Who conned you and deceived you into believing something different than that you know to be true? And sometimes, you know, when we believe something, especially when we believe in the faith and the power of God, we're in a day where there are many beliefs and people believing in so many different things, and they will try to talk you out of your faith if you're not careful. This is why we got to know our Bibles. We have to understand Scripture. We have to understand the Word of God. You don't have to be a theologian or a scholar, but you need to know something about your faith. And that's what he said here, that we're no longer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And then in verse number 22, it talks about the Christian living, about the former things, putting that off, about renewing our minds. I want to see that over in Corinthians before the night is over, hopefully. And then it says, put on the new man, speaking the truth in love. Verse number 26, be angry, sin not, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who still no more, laboring in love. Verse number 29 talks about corrupt communication coming out of our mouths. And then it said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and anger be put away from you. And then it says, be kind one to another, be tenderhearted one to another, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Now turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 2, and we're going to see collectively in this particular story how their faith worked together. Here's a paralyzed man being brought to Jesus. And I'm sorry, Mark chapter number 2. And the story is just a wonderful picture of people working together to get a miracle. And that's what the church is all about. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Even as we see sometimes division in so many areas, I thank God for the unity that's at our church. I thank God for the people of God who are members of New Creation, who come on Sunday, come to a Wednesday night Bible study, who come to the prayer line. We see that unity. We see that oneness. We see the love and care and concern and compassion one for another. And we need that in the days in which we're living. Because the Bible says how beautiful it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, especially as we see the day approaching. Meaning, as you start to see the kinds of things that's going on in our world today, how much more do we need God's church? Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. That means rumor and word got around real quick that Jesus was in town. Verse number 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of a palsy, or one who was paralyzed, which was born of four, or carried by four men. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, oh my God, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Look at verse number 5 closely. Hey, Kayla. Verse number 5, we're talking about the unity of faith. Look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, wow. It didn't say when Jesus saw his faith, the paralyzed man on the mat. It said all five of the men doing this effort collectively, Jesus saw their faith. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain ones of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins except God alone? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? I love verse number 10. But that you, now he's talking to all the smart people, all the Pharisees, all the scribes, all the religious rulers that was in the place, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one sick of a palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into the house. We're talking about the unity of faith. I'm about to tie this all together. Look at verse number 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before all of them, insomuch that they were amazed. Now everybody's looking at what's going on. Insomuch that they all were amazed. And they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let's start at the beginning, and then we're going to go right where I left off, because we're talking about the unity of faith. Because after everything was said and done, glory be to God, even the distracting spirit that tried to rise up, even as this miracle was taking place and going forth, there are times in your life, on your way to your miracle, here comes a distraction. On your way to your miracle, here comes an interference. On your way to your miracle, here come the naysayers and the negative people. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we will let people talk us out of and people keeping us away from the miracle and the manifestation that God always had in mind for us. We have to have focused faith. We have to be so determined. We have to be so focused centered on this thing called faith, because the narrow is the road. This road that we're on, the Bible said, is very narrow. I deal with a lot of people every day. Glory be to God. I see a lot of people every day in my line of work. Glory be to God. And I run into very few people of faith. But as I am a man of faith, I thank God for Sunday church. I thank God for Tuesday prayer. I thank God for Word Wednesday, because it keeps me the light and salt of the world. It allows the word of God to reside in me and you, and that's why he said you will bear much fruit. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. This world will try to get in you every chance it gets. But even as these five men got this miracle, this man's sins were forgiven. This man took up his bed and walked. I said they carry him in, but he walked out. Glory be to God. They brought him in on a bed, but he walked out the room carrying his bed. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is saying to somebody tonight, when you touch and agree, when you come into agreement, when you find like-minded people, when you find people that agree with what you're expecting from God, hallelujah, God is moved in the name of Jesus. Now your faith is working with other people's faith, and iron is sharpening iron. You're encouraging one another. You're there for one another. That's why the Bible says there are no long ranges, there are no solo acts. He said, pray one for another that y'all all may be healed. Come on. Glory be to God. Confess your faults one to another. That means we make mistakes, people of God. That means none of us get it right all the time. It wouldn't be in our word to confess our faults one to another, because all of us need help. Can I get an amen right there? In the name of Jesus. So when the Bible says, when we confess, God now says, I see that area you need help in. You still got a temper. I see that area you need help in. You still got overwhelming fear. I see that need, that need you got, you need help in. You still got pride and arrogance going on. I see that area that you need help in. I talked about that on Sunday. God puts his finger on stuff that we may not know he need attention on, but God knows exactly what bothers us. God knows exactly the root cause of the things that makes us angry, the root cause of the things that pisses us off, the root cause of the things that bring us so much fear and so much bitterness, the root cause of why we procrastinate, or sometimes why we don't have the consistency and the commitment that we should have. And those are the things that God wants to work on. That's why he was about to give these people a miracle, because the Bible says when he saw their faith. And then all the people in the room, even as criticism came up, isn't that very cynical and negative? This man picked up his bed and walked. His sins got forgiven. And I don't know, because the story don't tell me, but I don't know if what he did as far as a sinful act put him in this condition. But apparently, it has something to do with the situation. That's why Jesus addressed the issue. Because this man needed more than just a walk. He needed his sins forgiven. Because Jesus don't waste time on stuff that don't matter. Glory be to God. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. As we work on a unity of faith, when we come to church, our young mothers raising their children, young men trying to live holy and stay holy, young people trying to get ahead, the church trying to fulfill the vision of God that God has given us, people coming collectively. Yes, we have a collective effort, but there are also individual things going on at the same time. And God will honor us as we honor him. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. Let's look at another story where unity was taking place and they got a breakthrough. That's what I talked about on Sunday, believing God for a breakthrough. Here's another story where, as a matter of fact, let's look at this where they had a lack of faith. I'm going to look at that one first. If you're still in the book of Mark, go to chapter number 4. Because some of us are we're in a storm right now. Somebody's in a storm right now. Somebody's in a situation right now. Maybe you're in a predicament or a situation that you choose not to be in, but you have to be there because you need to be there right now. And God will alter it. God will change it. God will do something about it. But until then, walk by faith and not by sight. But we're going to see here as Jesus is in this story, Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. If you just go two chapters ahead, we're still in the book of Mark, verse number 35, chapter 4. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's our Jesus. That's who that is. Glory be to God. And Jesus said when he was living to his disciples, even to us today, and greater works will you do. You can speak to your storm. You can say, peace be still, and peace will come into your mind. Peace will come into your life. A calm will come into your situation. That predicament is trying to worry you, it's trying to bother you, it's trying to be on your mind all day, every day, and God is saying, speak to it. Let us take, and you're trying to tell me, Pastor Anthony, I'm supposed to sleep through my storm? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus can sleep through a storm. I'm not saying that we're going to sleep through our storm, but I am saying that sometimes we don't have to overreact. We don't have to worry ourselves to death. We don't have to seek the wrong counsel or go back to old and bad habits. There's a way to respond, and there's a way to react that will be pleasing to God. You know, when I was in a whirl and certain things would happen that would bring me pressure or bring me anxiety or bring me stress, I was headed to the clubs. I was headed to the alcohol, I was headed to the marijuana, was headed to the wrong negative friends, I was headed all in the wrong directions in that season in my life. So I'm not talking what I think I know. I know what it's like to go to negative things that did not change my situation at all. In so many instances, it made it worse. But now, now we can go to a God that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you and I could ever think, ask, or imagine. If you're in a storm, go to God. If you're in a hard place, go to God. If you're in an impossible situation, go to God. God will heal it. God will fix it. God will change it. All things are possible for us, for those of us who believe. The Bible says, with man, that thing might be impossible, but with our God, all things are possible. That's why they said, what manner of man is this that even the natural elements of the wind and the rain and the waves and the ocean obeys him? It's obeying him because he created it all. Oh, glory. And God the Father gave him power over all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to, because we are in Bible study. So sometimes I take a detour when the Lord tells me to take a detour. That's just how I flow at Bible study. And he's telling me sometimes somebody needs to see this. So go to John chapter number 1. The church that I joined, Cathedral International Perth Amboy, they gave us a little booklet on the book of John as you became a new member. And they recommended the first book that you get to read or you should read is the book of John. Because John, other than the other four gospels, well, the other three gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the book of John really focuses on the deity of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, meaning equaling Jesus with God the Father. The other gospels have their own characteristics, but the book of John, you will see a lot of red ink in the book of John because it talks a lot of what Jesus actually said and did. But go to John chapter number 1. Again, we take just a little detour, but we're still talking about the unity of faith. We're still talking about that subject. But I believe we need to see this. How could Jesus speak to the wind and the waves and they obey him? That's why God led me to John chapter number 1. You'll see why the natural elements obey Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here it is right here. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made the water. He made the wind. He made the air that we breathe. He made the stars in the sky. He made the galaxy. He made everything under the earth. Can I go on? Look at verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world. Not only did Jesus create all that other stuff, he created you and me and every other human being. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I'm going to read verse number 10 again. This is why I say we got to study the Bible, we got to know the Bible. These are scriptures that somebody would say, why do you believe in Christianity? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe that there was a Holy Spirit? Why don't you believe there are many other ways to God other than what you read in your Bible? Now you have fuel. Now you have evidence. Now you have word to back up what you believe. Verse number 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, meaning Jews, and his own received him not. This is you and I, the Gentile of today. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the word, people of God. That's why when he told them over in the book of John, that's why I talked about the book of John. If you go to chapter 6 or 5, it's somewhere around there. He said, if you want any part of me, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they took it literally that he was talking about cannibalism. He wasn't literally saying you got to eat me. He was speaking symbolically that you must take part in him if you want to get into glory. And that's why I talk about the unity of the faith, is that as we grow in the things of God, as we grow in our faith, as we believe stronger in miracles and signs and wonders, not only do we get our blessings, not only do we get our miracles, not only do we get the personal things that we want, now we see there's a bigger picture of a bigger agenda going on. There's the devil, the prince of this world, trying to stop people from being blessed, trying to hold up blessings, trying to get people to perish. There's a devil and there's a god of this world trying to destroy, kill, steal. And now you have God using me, and now you have God using you to counter that. Come on, somebody. That's the kind of power he gave you, that you can pray for your family and you'll see deliverance, that you can pray for your husband and you'll see deliverance, that you can pray for your wife and you'll see deliverance. You can pray for the sick and they will recover, because that's the supernatural at work. Glory be to God. So we're talking about the unity of faith tonight. And I just wanted to veer off and go there to let you know the kind of God that we serve, and also the kind of power that you and I operate out of. Go to Acts chapter number 27. Yes, Acts chapter number 27. No, as a matter of fact, we're going to hold off. Let's go to Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 7. We may get over there to Acts 27. We may not. But right now, I'm being led to go to this story, because I want us to see how faith works together. You have some people with common issues, common problems, with similar situations. That's why I can relate. You know, now that I've overcome cancer, now that I defeated cancer, now that I'm cancer free and a cancer survivor, I can relate to those who are going through treatments or going through process right now. I have a coworker, and you know, lately he's just been looking heavy because his wife is going through treatment, and he's a beautiful brother. He bought my book and just a good brother. His daughter and Kayla go to the same college, Matt Trezor, just a good brother. But he's going through, and I'm praying for him and his wife she's been diagnosed with breast cancer. And as they get through this, I'm believing by faith that he's going to get through this. But he just has not been the same at work. And I can just relate, and my heart goes out to him, or anybody battling cancer or cancer diagnosis. To God be the glory. And
we're going to see here the story about four lepers, because the lepers had to go and live in communities. They were not allowed to interact with civilization. They were not allowed to interact with the culture or the majority or the public. I'll never forget, we went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and if you got sick, if you they would quarantine you. They would, you know, ask you to stay in your room for the rest of the cruise because they didn't want anything to spread on the boat. They didn't want anything to be contagious that you may have gotten to spread throughout the boat. And they would tell you, you know, if they really saw you with a 102 fever, or, you know, you really sick, or they got a doctor on board that diagnosed you with something, you would be confined to your room because they don't want it to spread to some other people or the other passengers on the cruise. Same thing going here in this story. These are four lepers. They're in a community because the lepers had to live together and dwell together. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord, or one of the persons, the servants of the king, then a lord on whose hand the king leaned, that means he was close to the king, answered the man of God. Now he's talking back to the prophet Elisha, who just declared a word, and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make the windows of heaven open, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat thereof." That's what I talked about. You got to be the unity of faith. You have to get around people that's believing and standing in agreement with you. It's hard enough to believe God for the impossible. Come on. Let alone to get around somebody who's negative or who's not a Christian or who's not a believer, trying to talk you out of what you're believing God for. Amen. So here's a negative person who obviously has a high position in the kingdom. The man of God just got a word from the Lord that he released in the middle of a famine that had been going on for a long time. Things are dying. There's no water. There's no food. There's nothing happening. It's dry. There's great lack. And he said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to have a miracle. And this negative man said, "Yeah, right." That's my interpretation. Verse number 3. And there were four lepers, men, at the entering in the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" That's a good question. You'll find people who will complain, who will give you all the details of what's wrong, but sometimes they won't take an action to do anything about it. And that's pretty sad. And I know, you know, the devil's busy. The devil is the one that paralyzed people or put fear in people. But, you know, when my wife and I wrote the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work, the reason we started the title with the word making, not just marriage and relationships that work, because you got to make marriage work. You have to make relationships work. It takes two people to make it work. And certain things, you know, as believers, I think sometimes people want things just to happen, but God will do his part when we do our part. And that's what's about to happen in this story. They said, "We're not going to just sit here and die." Listen to what they said. "If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city also." In other words, there's a famine where they are. There's no food. Where they're going, They said, how bad could it be? It can only be worse than right now where we are. It can't be no worse than here. And then keep reading, and we shall die there. So if there's a famine over there and there's no food over there, at least we tried. And if we sit still here, we die anyway. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. Wow. I mean, that's one way of thinking, but it kind of makes a lot of sense. We're going to die from this leprosy. We're going to die from starvation and hunger. But if we go over there, there's a chance they may spare our lives. Verse number 5, and they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Look at my God. Verse number 6. I love this story. Sometimes I just go to this story on my own because this is one of my favorite Bible stories, actually. I just love what happens here. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians, listen to this, to hear a noise of chariots. And there were 4 lepers walking on feet. They didn't even have 1 horse. But God made the enemy to hear chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host or a great army. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. These 4 lepers got a miracle because they walked in unity of faith, saying, our faith is going to take us over here, and if they spare our lives will be spared. And the Bible says, as these 4 men walk, the God that they serve caused the people who were their enemies to hear an army, because they knew the children of Israel didn't have all of that. They said they hired some more kings, and they hooked up with some more nations, and now they're coming to get us. And the Bible says they fled for their lives. You see how God is bringing that prophetic word that the prophet declared in the earlier part of the chapter? You see how he's bringing that word to pass, and that's a word for somebody. We're trying to figure it out, and God has already worked it out. Oh, glory to his name. Hallelujah. God, I don't need the details of how you're going to do it. God, I don't even know when you're going to do it. I don't know why you're going to do it, but I'm going to stand in faith until you do it. Who is that for right there? In the name of Jesus, we don't need the details of how God is going to do it. Just sleep at night. Go and lay yourself down. Keep working while it is day. Keep walking by faith and not by sight. And let God do all the things that he needs to do behind the scenes. Let's look at how the prophetic word came to pass in verse number 8 and verse number 9. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they didn't eat and drink. They left for famine. They were hungry. They're about to die from hunger. Now they're eating and drinking. And they took the silver, and they took the gold. They took all this raiment and fine clothing, and they hid it. And then they went into another tent, and they did the same thing, and they hid all that stuff. So they looted. They're taking all the rich stuff, all the money, all the gold, all the silver, all the fine clothing, all the food. And verse number 9, here's a prophetic word. Then they said one to another, We do not well this day as a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, in other words, if we try to hoard this, if we try to be selfish in this moment, if we have a me, myself, and I mentality, God will allow something to come in and take away all of this. But if we share the wealth, my God, if we share the blessing, my God, if we share our resources, my God, if we bless somebody else with what we've been blessed with, my God, God will maintain it, God will increase it, God will multiply it, God will use it. So God is saying to us tonight, if you have resources, if you have blessings, if you have money, if you have gifts, talents, and abilities, if you have resources, share them. Help somebody else. Serve God. Be a blessing to someone else, because God will keep blessing you. He'll keep putting money in your hand. He'll keep opening doors that no man can shut. God will keep blessing you. You'll be like an open water fountain. Water coming in and water going out. Blessings coming in and blessings going out. Overflow coming in and overflow going out. When you honor God with your substance, he said he will fill your barns with plenty. I've seen it in my own life. Pastor and I, we've been with the church now 12 years. And I remember a season where it was really hard. We had a couple of years where it was really, 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 really hard. I could have put some more reallys there. And we got through those years. But she and I sometimes had to, you know, pay the lease or pay this bill or pay that bill. But God always honored us. God always gave us favor. I remember, and I tell this story often, how even the landlord gave us favor on several occasions as far as it was relating to the lease and the lease payment. And I told, and you know, that's what I'm saying tonight, when you trust God with money, when you trust God with resources, when you trust God that he is your source and everything else is a resource. I didn't mean to do it tonight, but like I said, I got to be just led by the Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. And this particular text, God tells you and I not to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live. Because sometimes we worry, and the Bible says God already knows what we need before we ask for it. And sometimes if you ever find yourself worrying, finding yourself stressing out, if you're finding yourself with insomnia, not able to sleep at night, read Matthew chapter 6. Read the entire thing, because he talks about praying, fasting, and giving. He talks about we can't serve God and money. He talks so much here about what we let in, how much dark things we let in through TV and music, and through sometimes our sinful actions. We got to watch what we let into our lives. We need to let light in. We need to let the word in. We need to let good stuff in. And that's what begin to come out of us. But here he's trying to teach on trusting him and not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about natural things, but trusting God. Pastor Anthony, you mean I don't have to work? I don't have to go get a paycheck? that that's not what the text is saying. It's saying, do your part, go to work, start your business, do your best, try to make money, but God is still the source behind all of that. Matthew 6, verse number 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's it right there. He's saying, don't worry. The NIV says, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm reading from the King James Version. But the NIV, the Message, the Amplified, the New Living Translation, all those other texts use the word worry. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, what your body will put on, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, the word, can add one cubit or one day to your life? And why take thought for clothes? Consider not the lilies of the field, that they grow and spin and toil. Aren't they much more splendid than Solomon in his glory? Look at verse number 30. Verse number 30. Yeah, we might as well read all of this because I want to encourage somebody tonight if the enemy tries to put you in that spirit of worry. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more put clothes on you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. There's the word again. Jesus is writing this. That's why it's all in red. This is part of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. He began to teach a whole nother way of doctrine, a whole nother way of teaching. And this, what we're reading now, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, and he's telling the people, don't worry, don't take no thought for tomorrow. Put your faith in me. That's why I'm tying this all together, the unity of the faith. Because this is simply faith in Almighty God. Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we put on? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But this is what God is telling you and I to do the rest of our lives, those of us who are Christians and trying to win over more Christians into the kingdom. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. He gives us instruction in these last two verses of how we should live as believers. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. The Bible is telling you and I there's enough going on right now in this moment. There's enough happening in this one day right here before we go to the 12 o'clock midnight hour. There's enough going on right now. We can't get into tomorrow, but we got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We go after God, we go after living right. We go after God, we go after working hard and providing for our families. We go after God and we try to be a blessing to God, a blessing to our church, a blessing to our community, a blessing to others. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God encompasses all of that. Helping other people, loving other people, serving other people, blessing other people. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we said on Sunday that we are kingdom minded people. We're kingdom minded people. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And for those of you who came tonight, that's what you're doing. You're showing God you're about your Father's business. For those of you who come to prayer, that's what you're showing God through your actions. You're about your Father's business. And God is going to honor you as you keep honoring him. That's the God in which we serve. Faith without works is dead. And the fact that you came tonight, those of you that would listen to the recording, faith come by hearing and hearing through the word of God. And God is going to honor your faith. Even as we preach, as we pray for other people, as we give money into the kingdom, as we pay our tithes, as we sow seed, as we pray for the multitude, as we love, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's our family. Those are our friends. Those are our classmates. We got to always walk in love. That's why we go through so much on the job. The enemy trying to use people to taint our love walk. Some of us go through a lot even in our own biological families because the enemy is going to challenge our love walk. That's why we need the unity of faith, because we all have families. We all have problems. We all have bills. We all have dreams, goals, and aspirations, but we need each other. Father, I thank you tonight. I pray that you continue to be with your people as they pursue a spirit of excellence, as they pursue purpose, as they go after their dreams, as they raise their families, as they go out and work and try to provide a good living. I thank you, Lord, for those who are seeking the kingdom, and you keep adding to our lives. So, Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing too big for us to receive. You said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house, and prove me not that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I'll open up my good treasure unto those who honor me. So, God, I thank you for faithful givers, not just with money, with their time, with their effort, with their prayers, with their service, that you will honor them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I give you praise for them in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God for every caller tonight, everyone on Word Wednesday. We will be in our service on Sunday, 12:30, New Creation Christian Ministries, 1482 Maple Avenue. We have another afternoon service 2 weeks in a row. For those of you who can, this time we'll be in the city of Newark. Pastor Rebecca will be preaching once again an anniversary service for our good friends, Pastor Stephanie Kimbrough and her husband, Minister Kevin Kimbrough, very good people of God. We want to go over as a church family to be a blessing to them. And Saturday, she's talking about her book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. That book has blessed so many women, and a book club has read that book, but it's going to be more than a book club. There are women coming from the north, south, east, and the west, and Pastor Rebecca has an opportunity to pour into women. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's an entrepreneur. She's a pastor, a prophet. She was a teenage mother. She was so many things. Went from welfare to Wall Street, and she gets those opportunities to share the goodness of God with women who are hurting, women who are struggling. And Pastor Rebecca will be in the city of Hackensack this Saturday. We're going to text you the information, but if you can come out both days, one day, we would surely appreciate looking up and seeing some familiar faces in the building. We love you. Please sow a seed into the ministry. We thank God for you. In Jesus' name, good night, everyone. Love you. God bless.